Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Eric in the car.
Hey, it's about 10 years old, snapper fishing at Jennings Beach in Fairfield on the jetty. It's right across from St. Mary's by the sea, which is where everybody in Bridgeport would fish. And there's a waterway that goes by where all the boats go in and out of Fairfield Marina. So I'm there snapper fishing. There's people on the other side snapper fishing. I got my line caught with a guy on the other side of St. Mary's. He's yelling at me, complaining. We're all tangled up. I said, let some line out. I'll get it untangled. He let some line out. I reeled it up. The hooks were kind of all hooked together. I'm working on getting it apart. I just get it apart. I hold it up and go, all right, I got it. And a boat comes by, yanks the line, rips the hook right through my index finger.
Ah!
I start running down the jetty, freaking out, 10 years old. This guy cuts the line, and I look down, and like my index finger's got a brand new gold hook just ripped right through it.
Wow.
We end up going to the harbor master's thing to find out what he could do. He calls home to my parents. My parents aren't home. My friend is with me. Calls his mom. She comes and gets us. We end up going to the hospital to have the hook snipped off and have it pulled out through the skin. And I found out years later, she was tripping on acid when she got the phone call and the ride in a cop car to the hospital.
Wow. Well, she saw two dragons driving, but yeah.
Dragons driving, man. Where's the cops?
Yep.
I'm surprised they didn't just throw you in and use you as a lure.
Right.
I'm about that big. Probably could have.
I mean, yeah. Legally, he caught you. You're his.
All right, Eric. Yeah. Nice job. You're in the running for the meet and greet. For Extreme Milford Oyster Festival, everybody on gets in the running. Port Jeff Ferry Bluefish Tournament happening August 24th through the 25th. $25,000 in prizes.
So when I was a kid, a friend of mine came to town. He wasn't used to fishing, and we went to a little pond nearby. And we were probably 12 or 13 years old, I think. But I remember he hooked up this tiny little fish, and instead of reeling it in, he just turned away from the lake and just started, like, sprinting while holding the fishing pole until the fish came out of the lake.
Oh.
Like, just running from the water. I was like, where is he going?
He didn't know exactly how that fishing pole contraption
he
worked.
He didn't reel it in.
Not run.
He did it the hard way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It worked, so I guess, you know, that's one way of doing it, but, man, I was confused.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, why is this fish all covered in dirt?
Especially when he drowned getting the hook back in the water.
Exactly. Not easy. Yeah, no. Run the opposite way.
That was horrible.
Run the opposite
way. You don't have to walk that into the water.
Your hat's floating.
I'd hate to see how he flies a kite.
Right.
He just yanks it up.
All right, you're in the running for the tickets. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tim and Shelton, what's your story?
So, weird little thing happened to me on one of my fishing trips. I was in the bay. We were trolling for king and Spanish mackerel. Usually when you're trolling, drop the lines in the water, your boat just kind of runs the bait. So it was my turn to, you know, reel in. Everybody has gotten a fish. And they're like, oh, you got a fish, you're on. And I start reeling in. All of a sudden, I realize, like, there's nothing on this thing, right? It was fighting, and then it was just, there's nothing on it. I think it left. And as I get it to the boat, I pull it up, and it's half a fish, just a head. Because there's barracuda, apparently, that take a bite. You have to...
Someone snacked on your fish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
It was like, there's your lunch, and the barracuda said, I'll split that with you.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, said, use your head.
You can't do anything about it. Like, literally lift it up and be like, well, just, what am I going to do? And the fish, but it kind of looks at you like, yeah, nice reeling, man.
Yeah, really. Thanks. Appreciate that. Yeah.
Somebody else got me. Yeah. I had this exact thing happen. I was in vacationing in Florida with my parents. We go out on a fishing boat because we love fishing. And they tell you as you get onto the boat, they're like, listen, watch out for barracuda. If you reel one in, do not do anything. Just leave it on the line. We're going to cut it loose and just leave it because their meat is toxic. You can't even eat it anyway.
Right.
Plus, they're super dangerous. But this guy is reeling in a kingfish. And what happens is they start swimming around the boat in circles. So it ties up all of the other fishing lines. So the mate is coming over with the gaff and the net to try to get the fish onto. And you just see this barracuda swimming, knowing that this fish has nowhere to go. Bites like the last third of the fish off. The whole tail is removed. The guy pulls the fish onto the boat anyway because he's like, the rest of the fish is still good. I'll eat it. That fish, that two-thirds of a fish, won the pool. It was the biggest fish on the boat.
Just
and he won like $400.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah. And it wasn't even the whole
fish.
Did he
split the barracuda?
The guy that finished in second place was so pissed. He was like, you got to switch sides on the weight and weigh those fish again. That he made him weigh the fish three more times. It won every single time.
Jesus.
Two-thirds of a fish won the pool.
Wow.
I love that the barracudas know just to take a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Because if you get the whole thing, you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, like a tribute. Like a tribute.
Every family member that I've had that's taken the whole thing, I never see him again.
Exactly.
I better just take half.
Yeah, take a
piece. Oh, just a little school, like a barracuda school. Like it's a little chart and graph.
Remember,
so if you take it from this point back, you're going to be fine.
Right.
Anywhere closer to the head.
Right.
You might get pulled out of the water and killed.
Yeah, like little mob fish. Just take a piece. I'm going to say a little piece.
Excellent. All right, Tim, you're in the running for the tickets. Thank you. David in Waterbury.
I had an issue with bacteria. I was doing like some manscaping, just trimming a lot of body hair, not off the top of my head or anything, just like chest hair, kind of down.
Well, you know what manscaping is.
Yes, yes.
So all the areas that I could reach that aren't an orifice, I would just cut with a trimmer. And then I would tweeze like ear hair, nose hair, all that stuff. But I didn't know after you do something like that, it's very, very important to use rubbing alcohol because you can get massive infections. And I wound up getting quite a few bad ones, and then it spread throughout my body. And the doctor previously had mentioned something about air on an X-ray.
Yeah.
And it literally, like, eats your skin so that there's nothing there. Like, you'll have a scab on the top of it. And if you open the scab, it's disgusting. It's just like a giant hole.
Did you buy your razor from like a thrift store?
Throw over the country.
No, it was just a buzz cutter.
Wow. That you bought brand new?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did other people use it?
Nope, brand new.
Do you clean it after every use?
Yeah, like alcohol?
Now he does.
No, yeah,
he
that does. Was the problem.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, how do you go from getting something brand new and using it and then,
getting infection.
But it opened up the pores, and especially in a couple areas, I tweezed, too. And that's what did it, because it
leaves
an open pore.
I'll manscape, and then, you cut a hair, like, a little bit too low, and then it doesn't come out its original hole, and it starts growing inside,
ingrown,
and then all
hair.
Of a sudden, I've had that happen.
Yeah.
And
all right, we got to stop this. You know why? Because
right.
No one's going to want to go swimming.
No.
Or go outside.
Or shave.
Or shave.
Yeah.
I'm getting freaked out.
Yeah, really.
I'm freaking out, man.
I sliced a nipple
I'm
once.
I'm freaking
about
out.
It. Yeah, we're good.
All I want to do is brush my teeth for the rest of the day.
We want you to also.
Thank you, AJ.
I want to lick a dog's butt.
There's a soundbite.
But so how bad did it get before it got better?
Was horrible. I almost got sepsis. I had to rush to the hospital and everything. Got it all checked out. And the worst part was I had just started a new job. So I went through the temp phase, and then I was a new employee, so I didn't have my benefits yet. I was literally like 2 weeks away from getting my insurance. So I had to pay cash for everything. And I got this ear infection from plucking at my ear and then not using the alcohol. And what happened was the whole side of my face swelled up.
Wait, so it was on your tweezers then? It wasn't on your razor?
Yeah, it had to have been.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it was from plucking and leaving the open pore. It was from the tweezing.
Okay, so you changed it over?
All right, this is why I don't tweeze anything.
Well, see, are you supposed
cut it down?
Right.
Are you supposed to pluck hairs like from inside your ear?
Well, no,
I don't pluck anything.
You know, like if you have an ear hair growing out, like a random, all of a sudden you wake up,
you
like, oh my
trim,
God.
Right?
No,
you could be the toughest MMA fighter, right?
Yeah.
And, like, this would be my thing. If I'm an MMA fighter, I'm going to come out and not punch or kick or karate or boxing.
Right.
I'm going to take a tweezer and pluck a nose hair out.
They're going to call you the plucker.
They're done. They're done. They're not seeing anything after that.
Right, the plucker.
Right.
And call you doing. It's doing.
Wow. And so real quick, how bad did it get? Did you have to have anything amputated? And then how much was the total bill?
Well, I kept everything, luckily. But the tough part was because I had to pay cash. When I went to the emergency room, I had that. And then the eardrops for the infection, they were like $350. And I was 2 weeks away from getting my health benefits.
Yeah.
And so that crushed me. And then I had to take antibiotics.
Right.
And,
so you paid through the nose.
Do you remember? You paid through the nose.
And ear.
Do you remember what the bill was? The total bill.
All said and done, probably like $1,200.
Wow. Oh.
That seems pretty light. Yeah. Like an emergency room visit is more than that.
This was a long time ago. This was about 25 years ago.
Oh, see, things changed since then. They were cheaper.
Yeah, back when you could buy a pack of cigarettes in the emergency room.
Exactly right. They
smoked
there.
Was it really worth not having chest hair?
No.
Smoothly kissable now.
All right.
It did get pretty scary, though, because I almost, like they said, it almost could have gotten to the point where it could have gotten my bloodstream, and I would have ended up with sepsis or something horrible like that. And scary stuff.
All right. David, thank you, man.
Take care.
All right.
Smooth.
Well, that was a problem.
I want to forget everything I heard in the last 20 minutes.
La, 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 la. I will anyway.
Yeah. You just do naturally.
Thank you.
What's your name again?
What?
Look who's here. Jay Moore. In the studio.
Look at that.
Good morning.
Yeah. In the flesh.
I was just going to say in the flesh,
but I thought, like, no, don't say in the flesh. That's something you could say for me. I don't know. I just woke up like 10 minutes ago, so forgive me.
Sleep's overrated.
This might be a dream.
I disagree. You're the morning radio guy.
You sleep a lot.
I sleep more than anyone you've ever known in your life. I hibernate.
Really?
Yeah, my flight left L.A. at 7 p.m. It was delayed. It was supposed to leave at 11 in the morning. It left at 7 p.m. I got in at 4. And I slept from 4, and they woke me up because Showtime was at 7:30 last night. Yeah. They're like, you got to come down the street and do a show.
Right.
So I woke up out of bed, and I did an hour.
I was looking through your stuff last night, prepping, and I have to think you've been on a lot of planes. Like, all the different jobs. Because I'm just looking at what you've done, not the stuff you've tried out for. So, between auditions and all of the performing and the movies and the this and the that.
Stand-up alone is probably 5 million I'm not exaggerating. 5 million miles.
Jesus.
Like, if you think about it, like, 2 weekends a month for 32 years I've been going out.
A lot of material, too.
A lot of material, yeah. I probably have about 4 hours of material, and it's always different. Every show I do is different. I mean, I have to do Walken, Christopher Walken, at the end of the show.
You have to, right?
Yeah. Otherwise, it's people, like they get upset. It's crazy. They get upset, cantankerous. I'll do like Tracy Morgan up top.
Do the Skittles?
No, I don't do Skittles. You know, it's interesting. I watched that. That was the first thing I ever got on the air that was by myself, and it's a horrible...
Like Paul McCartney doing Yesterday on Ed Sullivan. Like, you're out there on your own.
It was pretty kooky. It had everything going against it. I was in it. The host was not in it. There was no women in it. There was no Farley. There was no Hartman. Nobody else was in it. It was just me.
You're just standing there by yourself.
Right. And it was...
Did it feel like it was forever?
It was like being on the moon. Right. It was like being on the moon, because the laughs in that sketch are in the weird, dramatic Christopher Walken pauses. Like, I'd like to talk to you for a moment, if I could, about Skittles. They're good for you, lemon, lime, grape. And it's just these weird pauses. And I remember the audience laughing right as I was going to start the next sentence.
Right.
And then I would have to pause longer. And when it was over, it was supposed to be 55 seconds. And as it ended, I remember thinking to myself, like, oh, this is it. Like, there's no doubting. Like, I just crushed that. And Lorne Michaels was walking towards me holding an Amstel Light. And he gives me, like, the come here with his finger. I'm like, here it goes. He's going to crown me. And he goes, that was a freaking minute 20. And he just turns around and walks away. Like, that was my, like, good job.
That was the Amstel Light talking.
That was your first time on.
Yeah.
That was the Amstel Light. By yourself.
Yeah. Right. You know, the Amstel Light, I say stupid things also all the time.
That was a minute 20.
Why did he have an Amstel Light?
That's what he has at Showtime.
He just walks
popcorn
around.
And an Amstel Light.
Really? Yeah, he wanted to weigh you down. He wanted to have a good buzz and weigh you down.
Yeah, he wanted less carbs.
Exactly.
Once the show starts, is he hands off besides giving critiques after you get off? Or
no, he's hands on because he's got to keep the show to time. So he'll make sure the show is an hour and a half. Like, because if something runs over, like if 50 seconds becomes a minute 20, then all of a sudden Weekend Update, somebody's update, like, has to get canceled. Like Sandler's song about his left thumb has to go, left thumb, you are the one. I love you more than I love my right one.
And then click. Right.
You have to cut out a couple of shut-ups and a couple of Sandler laughs.
Right.
So you were 23 when you got on SNL?
Yes, sir.
How does that happen? What were you doing right before then? How did they discover you?
I was doing stand-up. All I know how to do is stand-up, really, my life. All acting work has come from just doing stand-up over and over and over and over. So my manager at the time owned a comedy club, and he had Saturday Night Live auditions at his comedy club. And the air conditioning was out, and it was in July, and I went up third. And all the Saturday Night Live producers left after I got off stage. So there was like 8 comedians who never got seen and had no idea they weren't being seen by SNL people. They just went up and like bled. If I could stick this knife in my heart, suicide right on the stage. How are the Stones going out with their walkers with tennis balls on the bottom?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, the show is a lot earlier now. It's 4 o'clock. End before Matlock. So
Matlock's on. Gotta go, love.
Matlock. We like. What about Cannon? Are we going to be able to watch Cannon? Keith likes Cannon.
Is going to the Stones now a little like going to a NASCAR race? You're just wondering, is this the show where Mick's going to have that heart attack?
Exactly right.
I do a bit about it. I do a long bit about rock and roll concerts, which is undoable on radio. But I go through Pearl Jam. I go through Springsteen. I go through U2. And then I get to the Stones and Aerosmith. And the only reason we go is because that might be the night they die.
Right.
Because you don't need to hear Brown Sugar. It's in your phone.
Right.
Every Stone song you could possibly, or Aerosmith song, it's in your phone. You can hear it whenever you want.
Yeah, right.
I mean, Steven Tyler doesn't have long to live. He looks like a Bond villain's cat.
I think he died 5 years ago, actually.
Keith Richards died 45 years
Not
ago.
Not a Bond villain, the Bond villain's cat.
Exactly. Mr. Bond, right. Mr. Steven Tyler cat is growing tiresome of your lies. Sassafras.
I call him Yum Yum.
He does look like Austin Powers' cat.
He does. Mr. Bigglesworth.
Yeah.
Right.
And Keith has been dead for 44 years, like you said. But he's been held together with baling wire and hay.
And that heroin just keeps him going, man.
Yeah, right. You can't kill the undead.
No, you can't.
Well, that was the surprise to me, that it was Mick Jagger that had the
healthiest
medical
one.
Emergency.
Yeah.
What was this? Too much Viagra? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Mick's like just getting models pregnant. Like, that's all he does. He's strong like bull.
Yeah, he is.
You know, I wish every human had a counter, like how many times you've had sex.
Right.
And then different people.
I've still been in the single digits.
So it's kind of like a mileage counter. So you
no.
I'd be in the single digits.
No, you would not.
How are you in the minus category?
You'd be under 10?
I'd be under 10, yeah. Just, you know, this week alone.
I would too, like, I mean, for this, for today.
Yeah.
For today.
For today, but it's early yet.
For this moment,
you just woke
you'd be
up,
under 10?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you think your counter is?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Right.
Can't just send it out.
You've turned it.
Right.
Remember pinball games? You can turn them.
Yeah, he's like that Volvo that had a million miles on it.
It's a well-oiled machine.
Right. Well, you're 23 on Saturday Night Live, and there was a whole career before
that.
That
was the least of it.
Really?
Because I was dying. I just had panic disorder, and I was a drunk, and I just didn't know what the hell was going on in my life.
So you were drinking during your SNL time?
Oh, like a fish. It was great.
Yeah.
So you would show up?
No, I didn't show up. I waited until it was over. Yeah.
Yeah, party
afterwards.
Like
from Saturday night after you got off the air, till when?
I would wake up Monday morning after the rap party.
That's a good party.
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't. It's like when you're going out with like the sound tech to an after hours place, he might have a problem.
Yeah, really?
Like you could be going out with Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger. Instead, you're like, no, the guy that writes the cue cards, Wally, he knows the spot.
Yeah, let's go there.
Yeah.
We'll go all night.
Wally's like, you know my name.
Wally's a good dude. I shouldn't even have said Wally because I don't want this to be a negative, because Wally's like actually one of the greatest guys ever that's still there. There's one cue card guy ever as Wally.
Still the same guy.
The same guy on Saturday Night Live. Does every cue card.
He's seen it all.
He writes
all cue cards
from
for
day
Belushi.
One. For everybody.
He writes Wobbly
to today.
Now, but yeah.
No, he doesn't. That's the thing. No,
he carries it out.
Wally, I can't even let you besmirch the name of Wally.
What does that say, Wally?
No, Wally. Wally's
he writes him or holds him or both?
Both.
Both.
Yeah, and I think there's other people that write him, like get outsourced to like write him, but you have to write like Wally.
Oh.
It's fascinating.
And every word is written out or just big
plot
points? Every word.
There's no
of the
teleprompter.
Show is
the only teleprompter is on the Weekend Update desk. So like if you go on Weekend Update, you have a thing into camera. It's all the words are in teleprompter, but they're also on cue cards.
That's a
you
lot
know
of
what?
Pressure
I'm wrong.
For the cue card person.
I'm wrong. There's not a teleprompter. It's all on cue card.
Even
Weekend Update is all on cue cards.
Weekend Update depends on who it is, but a lot of them hold paper.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the story's on the paper. Right?
Yes, that's a script.
Okay.
Yeah, if you only read the cue cards, you're fine. It looks like you're looking into the camera. If you go from cue card to camera back to cue card, that's when you get called out. That's when people know that you're BSing.
Right.
You can't wander. Like when I did Christopher Walken Psychic Friends Network, Mike Myers told me, just stay on the cue cards no matter where they are. Never look at the camera. Because you're supposed to be looking down the barrel of the camera.
Yeah.
Right.
But the camera's like 6 inches to the side of the cue cards. So like they got setups where like a guy answers the door, but the person that rang the doorbell is on the other side of the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just stay at the cue cards. It looks like you're talking to each other.
Right. So when you look into the camera and look back, they know.
Then your eyes, they know you're looking at cue cards.
Right.
Then that's when you're caught.
Right.
Right.
I said that like Christopher Walken. That's when you're caught. It's crazy.
Right.
That's how they know you're looking at your damn cue cards. Right. Everybody got pregnant.
If you're looking the wrong way, you know, pissed off Wally.
Yeah, no, good call.
Everybody's with you. It's like having nine people in the studio.
What's going on here?
Dave from Waterbury, you have a question for Jay?
Yeah, I was wondering, I heard some rumors that in the, you know, like to spend a little time with Tony Bennett because Tony's got a lot of free time.
I love Tony. That was a great tee just for me to do a Tony Bennett impression.
Yeah.
I heard in studio, what was that? I like to spend time with Tony Bennett?
Right.
Of course I do, everybody. This is Tony Bennett. Okay, everybody. Oh, what happened is, geez, you got a great fan base, man. They're hip.
Yeah.
Wow. Tony Bennett is also the name of the coach of the Virginia Cavaliers basketball team.
Oh.
So when they went to like the Final Four, he had a heart attack on the court, and he was trending on Twitter that Tony Bennett had a heart attack. So Tony Bennett, the singer, tweeted out, "I'm okay, everybody. Healthy as a horse. All right." And so then I went down the rabbit hole.
Did he write "all right" at the end of the tweet?
Yeah, literally. No, he literally wrote, "I'm okay, everybody. All right. Okay." So he wrote exactly how he talks.
Yeah.
And that got like 10,000 retweets because people couldn't believe that Tony Bennett was mixed up with Tony Bennett.
Right.
And Tony Bennett, the singer's next tweet was something like, "When Frank Sinatra Jr. died," it was that same day, "My heart goes out to the lovely Nancy Sinatra at the death of her beautiful son, Frank Jr." And that had like 11 retweets. Like nobody cared.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
It was like, oh, no.
Like he had a son. Okay. At least he didn't write "all right"
he
at
had
the
a
end
son?
Of that one.
Yeah.
All right. When Frank Sinatra Jr. died, he's at that big mic in the sky. Okay, everybody.
He's with his dad doing a duet.
"We're going to go from zone to man defense. Come on, rebound, box out. Here we go. Let's defend the top of the key."
I would get very interested in college basketball.
Right.
Jay Moore's in studio. He's at Stress Factory tonight. You haven't been to the Bridgeport place yet, right?
I was last night.
Yeah.
Oh,
you it was it? Great. Yeah, I woke up out of a dead sleep and did an hour with a bunch of people. I'm not sure. I don't remember any of it.
Oh, it was good. We heard.
I kind of blacked out. It was great.
Nice.
But I know it was great, though.
Can we call him now?
Colin Collin?
Yeah, right
that
now?
Would be funny to call him and then... Jay Moore can leave a voicemail for Colin Quinn. Yeah, right. Colin Quinn.
Yeah, it'll be a new feature, Colin Collin.
Colin Collin. I can't get him in my phone right now. I'm in the middle of Canterbury Tales by Chaucer. All right. What do you want from me? Right. PLR.
We're not going to laugh. We're just going to sit back.
Right.
We'll leave it quiet. Are you calling him on the cell?
I'm going to call him on his cell, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Not on your cell, though.
I'm looking up his number.
Right. Okay.
Do you
might
need it?
Pop up under his contacts on a dummy.
I got it.
All right. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. Jay Moore in studio. He's at Stress Factory tonight, tomorrow night. We're linked up at WPLR.com. Still some tickets available.
Yeah.
Is it ringing now?
Call has been forwarded to an automatic voice
of
message
course.
System. 9,
you want me to
1,
do the talking?
7,
yes, we're
going to
be quiet.
5, 3, 7, 6 is not available.
All right. Look, Colin, it's you. Do me a favor, 99.1 PLR, give us a call, okay? Don't make a big deal out of it, dummy. Next thing you know, I'll be calling Jim Norton. All right, I'll talk to you later. Next thing you know, we're holding hands at Woodstock listening to Michael Bublé, all right? Okay. Hang up, stupid.
I did my best.
He even like, I called myself? When did I do this?
He's going to know exactly. It's me.
After he had the heart attack, I left him a text message. I forgot what he texted back. It wasn't nice.
No.
No?
Do you remember?
Well, you had just seen his show, so you were saying how much you loved his special on Netflix, and he didn't write anything back. So you were like, just heard you had a heart attack. I forgot what you said something. You were trying to make a joke about him having a heart attack, but he never wrote back.
Yeah, then I talked to him about it, and he was just...
I didn't text back. I was in the midst of clutching my chest.
Right. He's having another heart attack.
Maybe. Oof, stop causing them.
Yeah. He wrote, ack, hitting the floor.
What did he write?
Ack, hitting the floor.
Ack.
Well, he was doing voice to text, ack, hitting the floor.
You could have put anything after ack, and it would have landed.
Ack,
building an orc.
ACK.
Literally anything after ack would have landed. That was so good. Ack.
Underused. Like you say, ack.
No, I like your spelling better.
ACK.
ACK. You got to get it right.
It's easier when you know.
Otherwise, it's AKAK.
Heart attack does ACK. So ACK.
Heart attack. ACK.
Billy Joel used it.
I was just going to say, don't let Billy Joel get a hold of it. He'll ruin everything.
Yeah, really.
What a jerk.
Have you met Billy Joel?
No.
You met a lot of people on SNL.
My 2 years on Saturday Night Live were the best two music years ever. Like, my first episode was Nirvana.
Wow.
And then it was like, then it dips a little with Cypress Hill, and then it was Aerosmith.
So wow.
And then, like, Bonnie Raitt, Beastie Boys, Eric Clapton.
Clapton.
It was insane.
What was he like? Yeah.
He was great. I went up to him to talk to him about Buddy Guy, because Buddy Guy sat in with the band once, and I remember him and Clapton both played Five Long Years. And I said, I didn't think that song could be played any better after I saw Buddy Guy play. And he's like, oh, that's great, great. And I go, except, hey, and I whisper to him, I go, but he didn't look at the chords. And he, like, Eric Clapton threw his arms around me and put me in like a barrel. And he goes, that's right, mate. Ah. Like, I told, like, this greatest joke of all time.
Yeah. That Buddy Guy looked at the chords?
No, Buddy Guy does not.
Like, does
he's,
not.
He's right. just a conduit. Like, right. He's not even aware he's playing guitar.
But when he spun you around, has arms around you, like, hey, okay, we're good.
Yeah.
It was, and then Marcy Klein, the lady that essentially hired me, I just see her like coming across the studio like, why was Eric Clapton hugging you? What's going on?
What happened?
Like, what happened?
Did you do? You just give him a bag of drugs?
What did you do?
It's like, I don't know. I just told him something about, but like the explanation sounded more preposterous than anything I could have made up. Like, no, I was just telling him that Buddy Guy didn't look at the chords when he played Five Long Years. I don't know. It's like being married. Always accusatory.
Right. That's when drug testing happened. Penis cup right now.
Fell.
So I looked up Jay Moore's, the time that he was on SNL. So it was Nirvana, Cypress Hill, Aerosmith. And then Billy Joel was actually the fourth episode that you were on.
I didn't meet him, though.
Okay.
Can't lie to you.
What are you, a rat?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
What a rat.
Yes, he is.
His nickname is Fact Checker Phil.
Yes, I call him the rat.
So you have to be very careful. Yeah, he'll correct you on your own life.
Yes, he will.
That's fine with me.
Right.
Because I make a lot of mistakes.
Like he just did. So you said you never met Billy Joel.
I never said he was on the show. I just said I had never met Billy Joel.
Try living with this every day.
I didn't know you were gay.
AJ, at least three times the show, threatens to throw Phil off the building.
Like a javelin.
AJ could probably throw anybody as far as he wants. He's pretty jacked.
I mean, yeah, he's in great shape.
One of these days.
Those
we know one of these days the place is going to look like the Hulk went through
this
here.
Is why I'm training. One day.
You got your heart set on that javelin.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because, all right.
I don't, the whole thing.
Yeah, you have a vision of like throwing Phil like a spear.
Is the other guy, it's a fact checker guy, like a tall, skinny guy?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
You paint him white and put some red around his waist.
Phil, can you come in here?
Yes.
I want Jay
why'd you stop after Billy Joel? There's great musical
talent.
Right,
why didn't you go right through it?
What about the Beastie Boys? The original nasal kid is doing damage.
So this is Phil.
Okay. A little javelin-esque.
Picture him in a white shirt, white
pants.
Look
how you're leaning away from Phil.
And a red pill. I'm trying to drink it all in.
Look at the veins in his biceps sticking out right now. I'm not kidding.
And on his forehead.
Put your arm out like this. Look at the veins sticking out. His cardio's going. His hands are shaking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what is going on with that?
He hates Phil.
I'm probably
he loathes Phil.
I'm having a heart attack.
It's the Hulk rage.
Yeah, I'm hitting the floor. Ack, ack, ack.
Ack, ack. Phil, go to the stress factory thing.
I'm hitting the floor. Ack, ack.
Let me cheer you up, Phil. I'm like stand-up comedy show. Goodness gracious.
He's very glum.
So do you have a Nirvana story? Were they on drugs or what was going on? Was it awesome? Did you meet
them?
Well,
not Grohl. Grohl, I don't think, was on anything, but he's just high on life.
He shouts a lot. Everything shouts. I
noticed that, too, when they're live now.
Everything shouts.
It kind of bums me out.
Does he have, like, problems hearing?
I think he's just getting super geeked to be live, maybe.
Gotcha.
I don't know, because I love the studio stuff, like Low.
Yeah. Don't tell him a secret.
The album One by One I like a lot. And then you see it live, and you're like, oh, no, like stacked actors.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. The guitars on that are bananas. Anyway, I met Kurt Cobain when they were walking back after dress rehearsal, and he was wearing, like, the pajama top that he always wore.
Yeah.
Like, he was dressed like...
It's like light blue with, like,
it's like meeting Ernie and Bert.
Yeah.
Right? It's exactly
he's sewn onto his
body.
He
looked just like the Muppet on TV.
He's sewn onto his body,
It's just exactly that.
Hey, Bert.
Bert. Good job.
Hmm.
And I said, hey, nice to meet you. That was really great. They did Rape Me, and they did it ferocious. Like, there was no easing into it in this dress rehearsal or in any rehearsal. It was the all-out screaming, wailing, wounded animal, savage, Rape Me! Like, it was...
That's awesome.
It's like, holy smokes. It was insane. I have goosebumps now. Like, you're looking at me, rub my arm.
And you're how many feet away from this as it's...
From me to you.
Yeah.
From me to you.
You feel his voice,
I'm covered in goosebumps right now. And I go, he's like, are you a cast member? Like, really slow speaking, like right. the methadone shuffle.
Right.
And I go, no, I'm a featured performer. I got to really just sort of write stuff for the other cast members and hope I get on after that. And he goes, wow, so you're like a songwriter. And I knew in that moment he would trade places with me, like in 1 second.
Right.
Yeah.
Like he Let's just
switch
had
clothes
it.
Right now. Yeah.
That is cool.
He you wear the pajamas.
Here, put this
no, but
on.
In a
no,
few
I'm
sentences, he learned more about you than, you know,
it was. You had to make it concise with him for sure.
Yeah.
And I remember Chris Novoselic was taller than Charles Barkley.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Barkley was the host. And Novoselic and Barkley were going like back to back in like, the little green room area.
Right. Oh, I never saw him.
Yeah, she marked on the wall.
Never saw him in person.
Right.
Charles Barkley was about 200 pounds lighter at the time.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, at least.
Do you have the song? Is this from SNL? Rave me.
1993, yeah.
Way to cut to the screaming part.
Yeah.
Rave me. It's such a Pixie song.
Yeah.
Rave me. Here comes the thunder. So raw.
Who else was on Saturday Night Live that season?
Talk about musical acts?
Yeah.
No, like, puppeteers. What a jerk.
We know Wally was in the cards.
Otto and George.
Cypress Hill, Aerosmith, Billy Joel, Smashing Pumpkins, James Taylor.
Oh, JT.
James Taylor.
Stone That's Temple like, Pilots.
Who the exact opposite why? Of Nirvana.
Right.
And Blind Melon, Counting Crows, Salt and Pepper.
Oh.
UB40, Crash Test Dummies, Aretha Franklin.
Crash Test Dummies.
Wow.
Snoop Doggy Dogg. He was not Snoop Dogg or Snoop Lion. Right.
It's really hip except for James Taylor.
Right.
But JT's like the guy.
Yeah, no, I know. Legendary figure, but, like, he doesn't fit in. If you were having a music festival.
I disagree. To me, it's the UB40 and the Crash Test Dummies, where I go, uh-uh.
Oh, yeah. Really?
And the performance was the same. It was like, you guys got to get out of here.
Oh, no kidding.
Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah, like, they forgot the words.
Dwight Yoakam.
Right, yeah.
What was that?
God or whatever.
What? Hanson and Bob. Is that what you thinking of?
No, Crash Test Dummies had the song.
That was earlier.
Pearl Jam, The Pretenders, and it ended the season with Janet Jackson.
Oh.
I have no memory of Janet Jackson.
Ms. Jackson, you know.
Heather Locklear hosted.
Oh, hello.
Do you remember Heather Locklear?
Yeah, I had a line. I had a line in a Melrose Place sketch where I played the gay guy from Melrose Place. And they literally, the line was, not even the gay guy from Melrose Place. And I go, that's me, gotta go. That was my line. Here comes the screaming. One line. That is Dillinger.
Like you're standing there pinching yourself. Like you're 23 in New York City on the number one comedy show.
Tears in my eyes right now.
Yeah, Nirvana. Yeah.
The talent.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unreal.
I mean, that's how they did it in dress rehearsal. That's how they did it in rehearsal. That's how they did it on Thursday for the camera check. That's the only speed they knew.
Yeah. Right.
And Stone Temple Pilots came in, and the lead singer Stone Temple Pilots wouldn't sing because he had to save his voice.
Oh.
And the cameras and the sound people were like, well, we kind of need to know your voice through the microphones.
So we can set the level.
Yeah, and he's like, wouldn't do it. And it was like so much freaking drama. Like Nirvana just came in, plugged in.
Yeah, no problem.
And did that.
Yeah.
And they weren't going to be able to do Rate Me because the censors were like, you can't do it. And like some back room, like let's nominate, you know, Harry Truman for president. Like back room politicking went down and they were able to do Rate Me. But it was... Scentless Apprentice was the first one they did. And then Rate Me, because it was on after midnight, they were able to get away with. But I think they were going to do it in the opposite order or something.
Right. So we'll put it late. That was the compromise. Right. We'll put it on late after midnight.
Best for last. Yeah.
The first line of Scentless Apprentice, teenage angst has paid off well, now I'm bored and old. Like, what a self-aware line to start your third album, rather.
Yeah.
I guess, Bleach and then Nevermind and then In Utero. I think In Utero is one of the most underrated albums.
I never really liked it.
You said that like Stuart Smalley.
Yeah.
I never really liked it.
I never really liked
it.
I
like me.
It's yeah. okay.
I like yeah. me, though.
Haven't even scratched the surface with this guy yet.
No.
There's so much to talk to.
Still scratching.
David in Waterbury.
Before you leave, I definitely got to hear some Pacino. There's no question about that.
What do you want to hear, David? What do you want to hear from me, David? You are a child. Hooray.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a child whore?
It's true.
Whore. What do you want to hear, David?
Hooray.
You're a child whore.
I've given you all of me this morning, but you're not happy unless I do Al Pacino. Who are you? Where did you learn your freaking trade, you child? Hooray.
Jay, whatever happened to more stories? I used to pull up the podcast all the time. You haven't been doing them recently?
I've just been on the road. I haven't been able to record on the road. I'm about a month behind, I believe, is
you can record, though, on your cell phone and just
but you have to have, but I'm not that much of a blowhard that I could just sit there and talk into my phone. I do do it on my phone. Like, I do the self-help ones. But to just be like a blowhard in a room, like, so I'm in Bridgeport, Connecticut. At
right,
Stress
that's
Factory,
not your style.
And this is what I've noticed.
Like, yeah, you like guest and
I'm not
exchange.
Not Hugh Hauser.
Yeah.
Boy, look at this. Microphones record all your sound?
Yeah.
Wow. That's really neat. You talking to this thing.
Right.
Gee whiz.
No, but you seem like you would, you're the one person that could talk for a couple of hours and have something to say.
I would have to have that confidence in myself in order to plug it in and start.
Right. You don't want to do it.
I don't want, that's the best way to sum it up. Yeah, I don't want to do it, but more stories will be back with a vengeance soon. We're,
with more stories.
Line with more stories
you
coming
know what?
Up
maybe
on
I'll record
more
because my
stories.
Man, was it David? Because he put the bug in my ear. Maybe I'll record one this weekend.
Yeah, see?
I sure hope so. I've been waiting. I figured you were out on the road and everything.
Maybe I'll do an entire Al Pacino, more stories. Wouldn't that be something else?
And I mentioned to Phil, and he had agreed too, how underrated Suicide Kings was. That's just an amazing movie. Really, really
thanks,
great,
buddy.
Great movie.
I appreciate it. You know, the thing about Suicide Kings, everybody thinks my character, Brett, is like a real jerk. But if you think about it, I'm the only friend that sticks to the plan. Everyone else bails and they backstab, and Brett's the only guy in Suicide Kings that just keeps it right to the plan the whole way down the line.
See? I feel left out. I didn't see the movie.
What?
Yeah.
I've never had that reaction ever to any of my movies.
Really?
Ever. I've really never had that reaction. It's like it just seems
I'm embarrassed.
Like, it just seems like one of those movies that everyone has eventually just seen.
Phil? You've seen it?
Yeah, the cast alone is fantastic. Christopher Walken, worth it just for him. Dennis Leary, also like just peak, you know, at the top. Brad Garrett, weirdly, is in there. It's really, really good. It's one of those movies that kind of like...
Which voice is Brad Garrett doing?
The one David. From Raymond.
Why?
The
why
first season
why?
Of that, he wasn't doing his regular voice. He was doing his regular voice, and I guess they didn't like it.
No, right. It was not. Why are you doing this? I don't understand why.
Why? Both doing Ray Romano.
Oh, why? I don't understand why. Dueling Ray's over here. Why?
Oh. Wow. David's still on hold now.
For God's sake, Ma, answer the phone, Ma.
Let him go.
Ma.
What do you hang up the phone on, David? Oh.
Thank you. Have you seen the movie?
I feel left out. No, I've not. I feel like an idiot.
I
feel like you would get to me.
I feel like when it came out. I feel like when it came out, the people that went and saw it were like, this is great. And then, like, it just sort of slipped past some people, and it's, like, one of those movies that, like, you look back, like, 10 years later, and, like, the people that sort of like, oh, you have to see this. It held up very well, too, which is, I think, uncommon.
It's the story of my IMDb page.
Right.
Go. Right. Mafia, Go, Suicide Kings. I got a few in there where it's like, yeah, it held up really well, and we all missed it.
Yeah. Your first movie is with Tom Cruise, right?
Jerry Maguire.
That's your first movie. So you're 23, Saturday Night Live. You do two seasons. The next year, you're in Jerry Maguire.
Next year, I did the Jeff Foxworthy show for like 5 episodes.
Right.
And I played Jeff's brother, Wayne, his crazy brother, Wayne. That was so much fun. I just got to do whatever
I
wanted.
He's a genius.
He's wonderful.
Yeah.
He's
and
one
a
of the
good
nicest.
Person,
he's,
right?
He's one of the nicest human beings God's ever made, man. He's a beauty.
Has a list for it, too.
And then I was in my dressing room when I auditioned for Jerry Maguire. I was in my dressing room when Cameron Crowe called in my dressing room of the Jeff Foxworthy show and said, what are you doing for the next 3 months? And I said, hopefully I'm making Jerry Maguire with you. And he goes, you got it, buddy.
Nice.
But did you have to try out for it?
Oh, many, many times. I had the screen test with Tom and everything. It was insane. But the more, I didn't get like stressed out acting with Tom Cruise because by that time you'd read it with a casting director from the San Fernando Valley 16 times. So by the time you get to Tom Cruise, there's an actual actor across from you acting like Tom Cruise, and it's Tom Cruise. So it gets easier the deeper you go into the puzzle.
Is part of your brain as you're interacting with Tom Cruise, even though you know the lines by heart, part of your brain saying, this is Tom Cruise.
That's Tom Cruise.
Right.
That's Tom freaking Cruise.
Are you able to shut that off?
No. Tom Cruise is a bright supernova. There's like, if he pumped gas in Minot, North Dakota, he'd still be Tom Cruise. Like he is. It's like meeting Cindy Crawford. Like there's like three, I guess the Dalai Lama is probably like this.
Dalai Lama, Cindy Crawford,
yes.
Tom Cruise.
Hello,
like
Dolly.
People, or probably Russell Brand's like that too. Like they all just look like they swallowed Christmas lights.
Right.
You just meet them, you're like,
inner energy.
There's just something going just, on. There's a well that's been tapped and I'm not aware of and I want in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's no matter what he was doing, they would have found him. And he's awesome. Like he's one of the dudes. He's like a guy.
Underrated as an actor.
Yes. Vanilla like, Sky. I didn't mean to bang on your equipment.
Yeah, That's okay.
But he, you know, they'll never, he's like Newman in that they'll never nominate him for an Oscar because he's so good looking.
I agree.
And he makes these blockbusters, and it's kind of against the Hollywood grain to nominate people who are in blockbusters.
Like, why wouldn't Eddie Murphy be nominated for like the clumps?
Really?
Right.
He played everybody.
He played every person in the movie. Except for Janet Jackson and
Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith. That's the only people he didn't play.
Right.
The mom, the dad, the brother Ernie.
Yeah. Shortest credits ever.
Yeah. Everybody in the barbershop, Arsenio Hall, thank God, had a job. Was all Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
And the cab driver, by Jake. You dumb F.
I agree. Like, Tom Cruise is an underrated actor. Like, he was great. In Vanilla Sky, he definitely should have been nominated.
And then he was in, I think he did get one nomination. He was in a bit part in this movie that had a bunch of different players. Anyone remember what I'm talking about?
Steel Magnolia. Magnolia.
He was in a hospital room. I remember the scene.
He played a motivational speaker.
Is that what it was?
Respect
that was kind of like broken, right?
It was... Not Steel Magnolia. It was something.
I can't remember that.
It's
movie.
Just Magnolia.
Magnolia.
Steel Magnolia is the one with all the broads.
It was like a poet.
Steel Magnolia.
He was like a poet.
All those yakety chicks.
He rolled a Chevelle.
Jay, he did get nominated for
Jerry Maguire. Jerry Maguire got nominated, and he got nominated for Magnolia. Did he get nominated for Magnolia?
I think he did.
In a supporting role.
Astounding. Like the stuff he said in that movie, Respect the Sea. You just tell it was all about, it was like a self-help guru, but it was all about how like you break a woman down just to have sex with her.
Nice.
Right.
And I remember in that movie, he did like a back handspring into a back handstand. It was like, whoa, Tom Cruise is jacked.
Yeah.
Because those are hard to do. I can't do it.
Do
a somersault on the carpet and come up in a handstand?
Yeah, no.
He just did it like 16 times.
If I had a play accident, I fell from someplace.
That was a controversial year, too, because he was nominated for Magnolia as Best Supporting Actor. That goes to Michael Caine, who wins it for The Cider House Rules. Which is a movie that I feel like people were just like, it's just too drippy. Nothing happens.
Delroy Lindo should have gotten the nomination in Cider House Rules, not Michael Caine. Delroy Lindo is having sex with his daughter, and you're sympathetic towards him.
Right.
Delroy Lindo was astounding in Cider House Rules. And Michael Caine was just, good night, you princes of Maine.
Yeah, but he's old. They give him that because he's going to die soon.
He's still alive. That was going to happen. And Michael Caine counter's rolling around.
He gave him life.
He didn't die.
He was about to go, and all of a sudden, I got to work.
We don't die. We multiply. Yep. And we certainly don't blink while we're acting.
Like Al Pacino, he gets it for Scent of a Woman.
None
of the other movies?
Nothing. Why don't I get it? For Dog Day Afternoon, I'll never know.
Right.
That's when he had Dog the young Day Al Pacino. Afternoon.
Devil's Advocate. Who are you holding those bricks for, Kevin? Are you holding
them? God,
it's the landlord, Kevin. He is now. I'm a fan of man. He inspires me.
Top story, Jay Moore is at... Stress Factory tonight.
Has been killed. Yes. Our top story, Jay Moore is dead.
No. He kills there. He kills.
It's a good
he'll
club,
be killing
man.
Tonight. And he branded, you know, he brought a comedy club to Bridgeport, Connecticut, which I don't think is like, if you throw dogs
on it. I like how
you
said that, Bridgeport.
Well, I almost said Bridgewater, which is a place you would expect a comedy club.
Right. Yeah.
But Bridgeport was not a place you'd expect there to be a great comedy club, and it's great. I went there last night. I was pretty blown away.
He did a nice job on that.
Yeah. He brings in the act. Dice was there last week, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Big names. Have you worked with Dice before?
Of course. I was on the radio with him last week. Yeah.
Oh, where?
Anthony Cumia's show.
Oh, yeah.
Anthony's anniversary, so I called in.
Oh, nice.
And Dice was in studio.
You go way back with Anthony, right? I remember hearing
just
you
the opening
afternoons on NEW.
Oh, those were the days, man.
Yeah,
we got away with murder. It was like Bobby Kelly, me, Rich Voss, Bill Burr, Colin Quinn. Like,
damn.
That's all we did.
Paul Mercurio, did you work with? Do you remember him?
I know Paul real well, yeah. Paul's a good dude. He's writing a lot now.
Yeah, he is.
Paul was the guy who, remember what got them fired was that it was the sex game.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Sex for Sam.
They were having sex in public places.
Yeah. Right, somebody but do you remember the name of it?
Sex for Sam.
Sex for Sam.
I'm telling you what it was.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sex for Sam.
I'm telling you the name of it.
And you're
he's telling me. I'm like, yeah, okay.
He's icing me out.
I'm going this
way. It
was
Sex for Sam?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sam Adams promoted it.
Right.
Somebody had sex in St. Patrick's, right?
Right.
Right.
That's
Paul Mercurio was the guy on the phone in St. Patrick's.
Paul Mercurio was the guy?
He was the guy from the show, representing the show, who was in the church saying, yeah, I'm here at the church, and this is what's about to happen.
Wow.
They had a bang bus. They had a lot of sexual proclivities going down in that show.
It was pretty crazy. Like, I didn't think anyone could get nuttier than Howard, but they did it.
Yeah, they did. They succeeded.
Yeah, maybe it's because I don't know why they got away with what they got away with, but it was like a real high wire act. I mean, but man, what a place for us to just like have those extra rungs on the monkey bars to goof around with.
And what were you doing in New York at that time besides?
Oh, I lived there.
Right.
I lived there. So it was after Jerry Maguire. It was after all that. So it was like right around like Picture Perfect. So it was like 96. Yeah, right around there.
Right.
The day I got the movie, the day I screen tested for Picture Perfect was a Tuesday because my friend Milton asked me to go to Yankees game with him. And that was Dwight Gooden's no-hitter. So I'll never forget that.
Wow. Jesus.
And it was Doc Gooden had like he already threw 125 pitches like after the eighth inning. So it was like, is he going to come out for the ninth? And he came out. It was against the Mariners. And the last batters he faced were like Paul Sorrento, Ken Griffey Jr., Jay Buhner, Edgar Martinez. It was like your stomach was in knots. Nothing is like a no-hitter. The Super Bowl, Game 7 of the World Series, you bring all your hype with you. But like a no-hitter, you're just there in the first inning.
This is a slow burn.
Oh, yeah.
It builds.
You can't breathe. From the seventh inning on, you can't breathe. Right. Every pitch could end this thing. You're actually praying to God,
right?
Don't let them hit it where they ain't.
Right.
Oh, it was insane.
And there was a spike in prayer that day.
Yeah, there sure was.
God's like, he's lines. What's going on here?
Doc Gooden, the guy used to do lines off Daryl Strawberry's back, for crying out loud.
Yes, he did. So he was a doctor.
He walked like a million guys in that game, too. So there were guys constantly on base. It's a wacky no-hitter because, like, you expect you're not going to see anybody on the base paths. They were so aware of, like, not letting, like, one of these little ground balls get through. They turned, like, a million double plays that game to keep the no-hitter intact.
I would say he walked four. You can pull it up.
It's six.
I was going to say six next. Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, it was a lot. But that last inning, he did walk.
So you didn't leave to beat the traffic?
No, man. Never been that guy. And if I've been that guy, it wasn't just to be the traffic.
I am that guy.
Really?
Yeah.
I just, my theory on that is like, how often am I sitting in Yankee Stadium?
Right.
How often am I sitting watching a live football game? How often am I sitting watching a live Dodger game or something?
So that's the best way to look at it.
Let's just hang out. You know, we're just two buddies hanging out.
What else am I going to do?
Yeah,
go in the car and drive down the road?
Exactly. It's L.A. There's going to be traffic no matter what.
Right.
But you watch the Kirk Gibson home run in the 88 World Series. When the ball clears the fence, you see taillights. It's amazing.
Yeah, people are leaving.
The guy had a Sherpa guy walk him to home plate. Limps up.
Phil, you were mentioning during the break that you have a that Jay tells a good story. And
oh, my God.
That's a real-life story.
I had to watch it at least three times because I was crying laughing through it the first two, and I was missing pieces of the story.
Well, I'm relieved. I thought it was because you were slow.
Well, there's that, too, yeah.
It's the Liberace Museum.
Oh, wow. You know what? I don't think I've ever told this story outside of my special ever, anywhere. Like, I haven't told it on stage since my special. My wife, at the time, I've been divorced twice, gentlemen, so I'm really trying to get it together.
Your choice of duty, yeah.
Goodness gracious, yeah. Went back to the...
You think you'll try it again?
Sure, who cares?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
I saw a guy in...
Three times a charm, yeah.
I saw a guy in Hawaii. I went to a tattoo parlor in Hawaii, and the tattoo artist had a guy wrapped around a bomb, and the bomb said love, and the guy's thought bubble was, here I go again. It was like a bomb leading a plane.
Good.
Isn't that good?
That's a cool tattoo.
That's good.
I'm thinking about getting it now, actually.
Yeah, right.
So my wife and I used to get stoned using her...
Is this your first wife or second?
My second wife.
Second wife.
The her grandma used to give us her pot. Grandma Helen gave us pot. And it was always like, great, grandma. Because you never know what kind of reefer you're getting these days. You take like one hit from somebody's vape pen, and you're like seeing freaking unicorns jump across the highway.
I feel like now it's really strong.
Yeah. It's no good.
This is already the best start to a story. We're smoking grandma's weed.
Grandma Helen had great weed. Like, we would just smoke weed with her grandma. Like every time we were in her apartment, we'd smoke weed with Grandma Helen. And then Grandma Helen had bone cancer, so the hospital switched her to palliative care marijuana, which is palliative care is a very fancy word for you're going to die anyway. This will
so
make
what
you
the
feel,
hell?
Yeah, right. Yeah, this will make you feel a little more gentle on your way out. So we weren't aware of the switch. So we have some of Grandma Helen's new palliative care marijuana, and we're in Las Vegas, and we're at a hotel that I think is called The Hotel, and the rooms were a little smaller than other rooms because they put more rooms
That's
in
That's funny.
It.
You think it's called... The Hotel.
The Hotel.
Right.
It's called
well,
the,
that
no,
side.
It was,
yeah.
It's called The Hotel.
Oh,
hotel.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you were so stoned.
No, it's
you
called The Hotel.
No, he was,
hotel.
He was in the
But
room.
That, like, trying to remember where you were staying. We're like, we're staying at The Hotel. Like, everything played against your brain. So we're smoking palliative care marijuana, and all of a sudden it becomes aware. You become aware, like, the room's real small, and the walls are kind of closing in. We don't realize we're taking bone cancer patient marijuana, and we're taking the normal amount of rips.
Right, right.
And we are higher than a giraffe's ass, and we're like, we got to get out of this room. We got to go do something. The idea of like going into the casino and gambling, where you might get recognized, because she was real famous too, because she was on the show Las Vegas.
Right.
That's out. So it's like, let's go do something like off the beaten path. So she's got that like free insert flyer thing where it's like they list all the things you can do in Vegas. She's like, how about the Liberace Museum? It's like, bingo. Perfect. Where
no
is
one
it?
Will, yeah. No one will recognize
like,
us at all.
There's two other people there probably. It'd be great. Yeah. We'll walk there. It's right by the pyramid. You can see the pyramid. It's right there. Little do you know the pyramid looks close because it's enormous.
Right.
Right.
So we, like 15 minutes later, we're still walking. We're not at the valet yet. And it's 110 in Las Vegas. And we apparently did not own any mirrors in this hotel room before we left because I'm dressed like it's a snow day for school, and she's wearing, I'll never forget, she's wearing a bikini top, but she's wearing denim shorts and UGG boots.
Oh.
And she's got one of my t-shirts.
That sounds pretty hot.
It was hot until my t-shirt wrapped around her head. We just looked like we were meth people. And we are dripping sweat. Like, she's got mascara running down her eyes.
If you did this
like
now, you'd be all over TMZ.
Like, you're melting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She's got mascara running down her eyes. Like, I was just choking her with my member. Like, we're a mess. And I was wearing denim shorts, which I don't own. So I apparently had one of hers on somehow. And she's like a size 00. Really.
And you're going to the Liberace Museum.
I'm wearing a Def Leppard t-shirt.
Well, wearing girls' denim cut-off shorts.
Apparently,
where else would you go for that?
And I'm not realizing why everything's so tight on me.
Yeah.
And we finally, after like 45 minutes of Flamingo Boulevard, 110 degrees, we are sweating. We are dying. My flip-flops are sticking to the cement out of the heat, and they're coming undone. And the idea of walking barefoot, it's like when you're a little kid, like, don't touch the ground, it's lava.
Yeah.
It was that. And we get to the Liberace Museum, which is basically a strip mall, and it's just a part of the strip mall. We open the doors, and the air conditioning inside is preset to 66 degrees. So just opening the double glass doors, we get blasted with the air conditioner. Already the greatest entertainer of all time.
Right. Yeah.
Like, oh my God, Liberace is saving our lives.
Right.
And we went to the Liberace Museum, and there's this amazing piano music. There's cascading all through these speakers. And I'm like, is this Paul McCartney? Is this Rufus Wainwright? Is this Bach? And the docent's like, no, it's Liberace. You're in the Liberace Museum.
Who?
And I'm like, Liberace? Like, Liberace? It didn't dawn on me Liberace was actually great. At playing piano.
Right. His jacket was always distracting.
Right. Right. And his jackets are on display, like these beaded, jeweled, encrusted, diamond-encrusted, long ostrich feather jackets that you recognize from Bugs Bunny. My entire Liberace knowledge is from Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
Right. I wish my brother George was here.
He made Siegfried and Roy look underdressed.
That's a great point. He made Siegfried and Roy look underdressed. And we're just walking around, and the worst combination ever is palliative care marijuana and the Liberace gift shop.
Oh, no.
I dropped $1,200 at the gift shop.
I don't know, pianos?
Plates, saucers, coffee
we
cups.
We were homeless. What about this? Yeah.
Bowls. We were going to have a Liberace dinner party.
Nice.
And like, don't get eight. We know more than eight people. Let's have 12. So how are we going to get all this stuff home? Liberace luggage. Liberace luggage. Nice. We're putting plates. We're wrapping them in paper. We're putting them. We're stacking them. And we're walking back up Flamingo Boulevard, pulling Liberace luggage, the same meth people with our shoes falling apart.
Right.
Anybody driving by would be like, Jesus, Jay Moore and Nikki Cox are meth people. Look
what
at
is going on there?
But I just remember when that air conditioning hit me, I just owed Liberace an apology.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a little more swear words in that in the original telling, but that's essentially the whole story.
Do you still have that stuff?
No.
Yeah.
No.
That was stuff you let go in the divorce?
I got the only reefer I have is some guy gave me. My friend Troy had an art gallery opening where he takes photography of comedians, pictures of comedians. And the guy that owned the art gallery handed me this like cigar case. There's one cigar. What do you put that in? Like a cylinder?
Right.
Yeah.
And it just said Speedweed on it because that's his name. That's the guy's name. It wasn't like Speed.
His name is Speedweed. Is Speed his first name?
But there's also,
name,
yes. There's also a comedian in Denver named Speedweed. So I was a little confused because I was just out of my element at this art gallery anyway. And one hit of this reefer and it's like, lights out. It puts me to sleep.
Right.
So like when I'm done with my shows and I'm keyed up, I'll take one hit in my car on the drive home in a red light. And by the time I get home, I just drive home as quickly as possible. Yeah. It's like taking Ambien.
Yeah.
Better.
Oh, it's... The weed now is way better than it was back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
I did somebody's podcast, and they had reefer going around when I was doing the podcast, and halfway through I realized I've been talking for an hour straight.
They're all passed out and left.
Yeah, I'm just like, they're all just so high they weren't stopping me.
Who wants a cookie? Anyone? Where is everyone?
Not me. Cookie? I'm not a munchies. Are you a munchies guy?
Yeah.
I'm not a munchies guy.
But I'm spicy, though, not sweet.
I'm like a
I want like wings and pizza.
Not me. I'm a cleaner. Like my kitchen's clean if I'm starving.
Oh,
really?
Oh, I do that too. Yeah.
You have a lot of energy.
I get fired up.
Yeah. I'll put a whole wall at my house. Oh.
First thing, I'll start laughing. I won't be able to
right
stop.
Right in the middle of nowhere.
What's AJ doing? He's putting a wing on his house. Man, that must have been really good weed.
That was
weed.
Some good weed. Yeah, his grandma was buying it. Yeah.
Because if I do nothing, I just sit there and obsess over how high I am. And I'm the worst guy to get high with. I'm the guy that ruins the high for everybody else. Like you're in the backseat of your friend's car and I'm taking a hit of a joint at a concert. Do you guys ever feel like you're having a heart attack? Everyone else is high.
I didn't, but now I do.
Yeah. I'm feeling my heart like through my ribs. This isn't normal. And then you got five stoners forget the concert, roll in the emergency room laughing at a male nurse.
Right. I'll get really giggly, and then paranoid, and then the munchies.
Oh,
you'd love getting stoned, man.
Oh, yeah.
But as a parent, I can't condone that, you know.
How old are your kids?
Cock and
two,
block,
right?
Yeah.
Cock and block.
Cock and block are 16 and 8.
Wow.
Eight.
Right.
It's amazing when they walk in, they go, what are you guys doing? We always say the same thing when you're married. You always go, mommy, daddy, we're just wrestling. I remember when my 16-year-old was five. He goes, how come mommy always loses? And I sat there with half of Chubb trying to explain it to him. I go, well, mommy's more of a striker. You know, mommy likes to, she wants to fight up on her feet.
Right.
Daddy, stay a champion wrestler. Daddy likes to get underneath mommy's guard, go for that double leg. Then I get her on the mattress and I choke her out. That's probably why in the hallway you heard, because I was choking mommy out.
Right, exactly. Right.
With my hog.
Right.
Thanks for coming in, brother.
Man, anytime, any place. And that, you know, if you ever need somebody to call and weigh in on an opinion, I got a kid, so I'm up all the time.
Because
my kids
that.
Get up at 6 in the morning because apparently they're both meth heads.
Oh.
Or longshore fishermen.
Bring him to the Lawrence Welk Museum.
Liberace?
Liberace, yeah.
Lawrence Welk Museum. Just be a guy holding
a
stick.
That's all bubbles, yeah. That's right. That's all bubbles, yeah.
You know the great John Lennon story? Martin Mull told me this because he like used to hang out with John Lennon when he was on, what show were we on together? It was the Jeff Foxworthy show.
Right.
And he was in a hotel room with John Lennon and a bunch of other people, and they were all like doing drugs and partying, smoking weed. And John Lennon's over in the corner, sitting Indian style, smoking a joint, watching Lawrence Welk for like an hour straight. And then Martin Mull comes over, and John Lennon just looks up and goes, he's got a great gig.
Right. Like
the idea, just all he did is introduce music.
Yeah. Right.
Please welcome Chaz and AJ humming Whistle Dixie.
Right.
That's right. He didn't really perform.
He just waved a stick.
Yeah, he went every now and then.
He was kind of like Ed Sullivan.
Yeah.
Right? Ed Sullivan didn't do anything.
Right.
No.
No.
He just introduced the Beatles
he was
and Elvis.
MC, that's it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Lawrence Welk, same thing, but with bubbles.
Right. All right, one more call. Big Fat Chris.
Hey, what's up, boys?
Hey.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Jay Moore. Hey, man.
Hey, man. What's you doing peeking in those people's window, boy?
Dude, I miss you so much. You have no idea. I used to drive, and I would listen to your sports talk radio show every single day religiously. And then I lost a job. Then you got off the radio. I miss you, man. Hearing your voice on the radio really warms my heart. I love you, brother.
Buddy, I love you. Oh. And listen, More Stories Podcast is free. You get the free app, More Stories, M-O-H-R Stories. There's like 600, 700 episodes. You can just go through the whole catalog. It's like I'm back in your car with you, brother.
Yeah. And you can listen to it anytime.
I'm going to get on that because Phil the screener told me about that. I'm definitely going to get on that. I just want to know, the kids are a little older. You don't have the lady tiny down. Is there ever a chance that you might get back into sports talk?
No. Radio's for radio people. I don't have the stamina these guys have.
Thank you for keeping it real, brother. I love
keep
you.
It keep it real. Keep it gutted. Keep it 200.
3 hours a day.
That's all right. It's just when you feel good about what you did in the next morning's meeting is how many times you said,
Yeah, really.
It's like, I got to get out of here. These people are loco.
You guys right. counted it?
Yeah, somebody sits there with a pen and paper, and they count how many times you say "um."
We all looked at each other. It's like, was he in our last ratings?
That's the big boss, and the ratings are based on just absolute fabrication.
Yeah,
we were number one in two markets, and we were number fifth on the list of great things that happened.
The highlight, the email that goes out, the highlights. We were fifth.
We were fifth
of seven.
Right. Yes. So. On that note,
I just like that you said number fifth.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I got a contact high from your story.
Number B, yes.
I had fun, man. I'd love to be back.
And hey, man.
Everybody go see the Stress Factory, because if you don't go to the Stress Factory, it'll go away.
Yeah,
that's
right.
A shame. So support local comedy, please.
Time now for Boss Keith's top five.
Okay, so today we're going to do the top five behaviors in people that I don't understand.
I'm taking notes.
Are you included in that?
This would be the top five.
I'm taking notes.
Not the 1,672,000.
Are you included? Or?
It's the things that people do that I either appreciate or I don't understand.
Like, pick their nose.
I don't do them. I don't get it.
Okay, so you're not on this list. Okay.
So
why would something you appreciate be on the same list as something you don't understand?
Well, you got to follow along. This is a big tease.
Right. Okay, this is very complex.
All right, so here is number five. People who have no fear. I cannot deal with people that don't have fear, like especially at my age, at like 43. So when we were 18 and we're going to cliff dive and drink 45 Monster Energy drinks, I get it. But people at 43 who aren't afraid to like throw guns around a hotel room and stuff like that, I can't do it. Who does that?
Does
that happen often?
Too often.
Where do you hang out?
My buddy brought a Glock to a hotel room, and we got back to the hotel room like after being out, and he's like, you want to see the gun? And no, I don't want to see the gun. It's 2 in the morning.
He's throwing it around.
He's holding it. It's in the air. It's like, I don't want to see that ever.
This is how news starts.
Right. That's what I said. I go, this is how I wind up on the news.
You look like
crazy drunk idiot shoots me in a hotel room.
Wow, it's like he wrote the headline.
Why are you guys all in the same hotel room?
Yeah, really.
About the same money. You know, you get two double beds.
Was this on one of your guide trips?
Yes. He drove.
So he traveled across state lines with
also,
a gun.
Yes. He always carries his gun, and he likes to bring it in the hotel room and like show
Hang on.
You look like you're from an old school rodeo.
We have the FBI in line eight.
Right. Number four, budgeting. I don't understand this, but I'm certainly impressed by it. I don't budget. It is a terrible thing that I do, but there are people that
you're an operations manager of like six radio stations.
I can budget sort of for the radio station, but not
your own budget. Not your own budget.
So if somebody, some people say like, okay, this week I can only spend $120 on like restaurants. I have no idea what I spend on anything. I look at that bank account app every week and I go like, how'd this happen?
I don't know what I spend on stuff until I look back and see the devastation.
So you don't budget either?
When I submit pockets.
Restaurant stuff and I look back, that's my biggest expense that I could just cut out and save a ton of money.
Restaurants?
I spend $8 a day on coffee.
You do.
Stupid. I know.
You do.
You don't go to Dunkin'.
That's just one cup.
Right. It is absolutely stupid the amount of money I spend on nonsense.
And so what's the math on that, Phil? So 8 times 5 times 4.
No, it's 7 days. It's $8 a day.
Oh, it's every day.
Yeah, the weekend. Just we turn it all the way up. Yeah.
$56 a week.
$224 a month.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's just a small car
payment. I spend $79 a week on groceries. Sometimes 80. Depends.
That's $2,600 a year just on coffee that you can make for yourself, by the way.
It doesn't taste as good.
$79 on food? What do you buy?
How do you do that with groceries?
I don't buy many groceries. It's a lot of, you know.
You're eating out.
It's a lot of going.
And back to you can't budget.
It's hot dogs, chicken broccoli.
It is. He does that. AJ's right. Tater tots. All right, number three. People that are late. I can't believe that there are still people that are late for things. The GPS tells you exactly how long it takes to get anywhere. On the Waze app, it will even tell you when to leave. So if I have to be home at 6 o'clock to pick the kids up from the babysitter, Waze will alert me like, you have to leave right now. No one should be late. I don't understand lateness.
Who is late?
Everybody's late all the time. So my ex-wife's late all the time. Why are people late?
I had a feeling.
You can't be late. The world, the phones have fixed this problem. No one should be late, ever.
Now, when do you get mad when she's late? When she's bringing the kids or picking up the kids?
Mostly when she's bringing. Gotcha. So, or if I'm
right, because you're
around,
ready, you're...
Yeah.
You don't have a schedule. Like to
be, right. I'm bring a scheduled
kids.
Person.
Yeah.
Right. Things happen at times, and the world has come to my arena.
They call it
all the phones have fixed it. So when she's late, I go berserk. Or when other parents are supposed to drop the kids off or pick them up, and they're late. Number two, jealousy. I don't have any jealousy, which is certainly
ever?
Not done well in the long run for me. Yeah, I don't get like so jealousy about like, I guess, success and stuff sometimes, but not like romantic jealousy. So if you're my girlfriend and you're flirting with some other guy, good. I got Netflix shows to watch. Like, I don't ever get jealous, ever.
No way.
Yeah, really chill.
Never, ever.
Wow.
Again, didn't work out in the long run, but like it's definitely a wow. thing that I don't have. Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Do you get jealous?
Wait, is that something to be impressed about, or don't you want a guy who's going to be a little...
Right.
Personally, yeah. I do.
Yes. Going to give a crap, you know?
Yes. Girls want that.
But I've never met somebody.
I was mad at Billy Idol.
Oh, really?
Why?
Oh, yeah. We were seventh row, and he was scoping Jennifer.
I know.
He better not send one of his runners out here. That's going to be a problem.
Exactly.
Yep. I think I'd be like, oh, we get to go backstage. You get to go. I think I'm all right.
Oh, you're going to go on the tour bus? Do I get to go? Oh, I got to stand out here. Oh, no problem.
I'm good.
Oh, the tour bus is leaving? Yeah, no problem.
I'll call me. Bye.
All right, and the number one behavior in people that I don't understand, and this is really for AJ, is road rage.
Oh.
I don't have road rage.
We all do.
If you want to cut me off, if you want to drive in the center lane with your motorcycle, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I don't ever get mad about road rage, ever.
Wow.
I've never flicked anybody off. I've never rolled down the window and said, like, bah!
Like, pulse?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. Like, what am I in a rush to do? Like... Okay, you cut me off. All right. You're
not in a rush because you're always on time.
Right. I've planned accordingly. Right. So,
right.
But I'd see you late just
weird.
Once. Trust me. You'd be flipping people off and you'd be like road raging.
It would never happen, AJ. I'm never late.
So you're never driving down the road, have someone pull out in front of you and you almost have to, you know, you have to panic stop.
Yeah,
and you never thought, what was that about?
Never to the point where I roll down the window and like throw a coffee cup on them or
your
something like that.
$8 coffee.
right, I
got to
save that much.
$7.
Yeah, right. So like my friend used to have pennies in his car that he would hawk at cars.
Are
when
you
they
serious?
Like, yeah, he had like a whole jar of pennies that he would throw on cars.
Well, that's just
people,
bad karma.
When you cut him off.
You keep the pennies.
My friend Mike Snow.
You want ball bearings. Those are better.
So yeah, he would do that all the time. He would chase people. Like, I don't care. Cut
no.
me off. Go ahead. I've been in 18 car accidents. It's on you, actually.
I wonder why.
It's more
18?
Likely I'm going to hit you. Yeah, in the course of my life.
18?
Yeah,
18.
Is that a real number?
A
yeah, I've totaled 7 cars.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, but
that's why he doesn't have road rage. He's the problem.
But age 16 to 43. So 18 car accidents in that time isn't that bad if you do the
how many people okay. have flipped you off in like the last month?
Hundreds.
Right.
And I'm like texting and driving. I'm everything.
Yeah,
wrong.
You're like, hey, why are they
the
so
problem.
Upset?
I was just saying hi, Keith.
So that's it. Those are my top 5 behaviors.
All right. Thank you.
All right, man.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.